The gospel lesson this morning is taken from Mark, the first chapter, beginning with the 14th verse. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Here ends the gospel lesson for us this day. Well, it's good to return to this pulpit this morning and share the good news that God has for us all. As we came down, the snow was so beautiful and the shadows of the sun, and it was just, the roads were pretty good, and so we're just very thankful for that. The sermon today is titled, "Will You Follow?" This is after John the Baptist was arrested. Jesus came to Galilee. Now, if you look at a map in Israel, Galilee is a big lake in the northern part of the country. Jesus was already on the journey of ministry. If you haven't noticed already, we don't have a lot of information about his growing up. Just think, just a few weeks ago, we were in Bethlehem with the birth of Jesus. He was born, and now there's a big jump in time. Jesus, they believe, was in his early 30s when this period of time was. He was beginning his ministry, and the lectionary that many churches follow takes us now to Easter on Sunday, April 4th. That's just a week earlier than last year's April 12th. In the Gospel of Mark, we find out the purposes of Jesus' ministry to the world. It starts out, he's come to proclaim the good news of God. You know, some people think that God lets things happen to, bad things happen to people. To folks, when the opposite is really true, sometimes it is our very own choices that bring us some painful results and bad things in our lives. Sometimes others decide that they're going to bring bad things into other people's lives with their decisions that hurt us. And we might have no choice in what happens to us. Then events, diseases happen. We don't know why. You could get the COVID and not make it. But as they struggle, hard times are opportunities for our faith in you, that God can grow in each one of us. We learn to deal and trust in God. Now, to be practical, my arm hurts a little bit from my shot the other day. I got the first, because I'm older than many people in this room. And so I get to, at 78, I got a shot, and I got, you know, other things going wrong, but we won't go into that right now. But there, my friends, is where God is able to carry us through when we go through tough times. There's an old story I love. with he dies, and this guy dies and goes to heaven, and Jesus is there, and he said, let's look at your life. Here you are walking by the seashore, and you see I walk beside you, two people walking together. Then you see there's only one set of footprints. And the person asks, Lord, where did you go? And Jesus said, no, I didn't go anywhere. This is when you were in tough times, and I carried you. I thought back through the years about that very idea. When I didn't realize God was carrying me. But I do believe it is true. Times in which people's lives were complete here and the race was done. One period with one person sticks out at me. It's my first year in ministry, 1980. That's a few years ago. I know some of you maybe weren't born then, but as a student pastor in Avoca, Wisconsin, I went to seminary every day. Oh, why? I just forgot. It was a Presbyterian seminary. Well, we had a couple of United Methodist instructors there who taught us about Methodist procedures and the history of Methodism. Otherwise, we're laden with the wonderful words of the Presbyterians, which I like. I had three churches at that time, and on Sunday morning, I drove 60 to 80 miles to get to all three churches. The funny thing is that I was never late when it was snowing, but the days that we stood around outside the church and we started talking was when I looked at the watch and I said, oh my goodness, I'm going to be late. And thank God I didn't get a ticket that time. There was another time, but we won't talk about that either. There was a shut-in at the nursing home in Muscadet, Wisconsin. This lady was dying of lung cancer. And I started visiting her every day. This is long before they were using stronger medications and used to treat those people in pain. And believe me, she was in pain, terrible pain, 24 hours a day. It hurt this poor soul. The person could literally not talk or really communicate. And I would come and say some words and have a simple prayer that God would sustain them and take them through this time. And as I prayed one day with them, I'm asking a question for my interest. If you know the day that God is going to take you and go to heaven, I know it's hard to understand, but if you know the day, try to let me know that's going to happen. Well, I thought about that, and I waited and went every day. Several weeks had passed. I drove down to Muscadet from Avoca, which is not very far. But on this one day, my friend was still in great pain. My friend, still in the drowse of pain, they grabbed and held my hand. And I said, is this the day? And there was a squeeze in that hand. Later, I got a call. They had died. And they were finally at peace, and God had healed them from their terrible disease. I got thinking this morning as I went through the words to Prowl, look at him again. I was thinking maybe this story is for you to hear. I think I probably have used the story in every church I've been in, but maybe you need to hear that story, that that soul knew that God was there. The good news of God in his presence is with us all the time, through good, through rough times, with this gathering of souls that we share together through a mechanical means, or when people gather in the church again and we see friends again. With this gathering, Jesus' message, if you read it, is that God loves you. God is with you no matter what you go through. It was his message again and again and again. Don't walk away from that. Trust God no matter what is happening to you or happening to those around you. Believe there's a lot happening in many lives today. There's a lot of fear and sadness. But remember, God is with you. Read the gospel lessons of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read the words of Jesus Christ, and they come alive, and they will become even more a solid foundation to whatever you face in life. It's Jesus' words that built this original building that we're in and brought you thus far, been with you good and bad. And I forgot to say my reminder. Have you kept in your prayers, God, send a pastor to this church? Send a pastor. Don't give up. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come, Jesus said. Turn from what has bound you and believe the good news. Follow me and I will make you fish for people. And immediately, those disciples, early disciples, left their nets and followed him. He went a little further, and there was James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately, he called them. There was no two-hour sermon. There was no feeling of guilt leveled on them. You got to feel guilty of your sins if you want to follow Jesus. And they left their father. I always thought that was kind of rough, but there was a hired man there. And they followed Jesus. I believe at any age, God can ask you to follow him. If you're 78 or 80 or 20 or 18, your answer is up to you. I hope if you haven't followed Jesus, your answer will be today, yes, I will follow. Presbyterians, you have already been called, predestined to get out of the boat and follow Christ Jesus. And that's your hope. May you live it. May you celebrate it. Amen.